familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com.
After you have your baby, you find that you're experiencing a wide range of emotions. You feel joyful, weepy, tired, weepy, in love with your baby, and weepy still. Is this normal? Do you have the baby blues? I'm Gretchen Malios, licensed clinical social worker and board president of the Postpartum Health Alliance, and you're listening to Newbies.
He's gorgeous.
It's a girl.
Surprise! The whole family's here.
So when are you having the next one?
It's just poop.
Ready for another?
Wow, you look really tired.
Ready to go back to work?
Yellow poop? Seriously?
Did you sterilize this?
Sex? Now? You've got to be joking.
You should sleep when the baby sleeps.
She doesn't look anything like you.
I thought you already had your baby.
I did.
Babies don't come with instructions, so there's Newbies, helping new moms and new babies through the first year. Welcome to Newbies, broadcasting from the Birth Education Center of San Diego. Newbies is your online, on-the-go support group guiding new mothers through the baby's first year. I'm your host, Kristen Stratton. I'm also a certified birth doula and postpartum doula and owner of In-Due Season Doula Services. If you haven't already, be sure to visit our website at newmommymedia.com and subscribe to our weekly newsletter. You can also subscribe to our show through iTunes, so you'll automatically get new episodes when they're released. All right, let's go ahead and introduce our panelists.
Hi, I'm Shannon. I am 31. I'm a stay-at-home mother and part-time photographer. I have two children. Gabriella is going to be 2 next month, and Emerson is 2 months old.
And my name is Jennifer. I am 36. I'm actually also a donor-trained doula. I am a student midwife. I have 2 children of my own. My daughter is 12. My son is 5. And I am actually carrying currently a second surrogate baby for friends of mine.
I'm Brittany. I'm 26. I'm a stay-at-home mom, but I'm also training to be a doula, a birth doula. I have 1 7-month-old baby girl who is vocal and grabby, and she is here with us today.
Sound familiar? If your baby is going through another bout of bad diaper rash, then you need to give Dr. Mom Butt Balm a try. It was created by a mom who's also a doctor. When my kids were little, I remember using this thick, goopy cream to help soothe their sensitive skin. Ugh, it was so difficult to wipe off. Not with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. You only need a small amount, and it's really easy to apply and remove. It's also free of dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, so it's gentle on your baby's delicate skin. Help your baby feel better and get relief from irritating diaper rash with Dr. Mom Butt Balm. Look for it on Amazon and Walmart.com. Hey everybody, it's Sunny. I'm producing today's show. And before we get started, I just wanted to address a couple emails that we've received within the last couple weeks regarding the Newbies app and the New Mommy Media app. You've heard Kristen and I talk about these apps in the past, and both of them are pretty new. So people are wondering when they should download Newbies versus when they should download and use the New Mommy Media app. So here's the deal. First, you should know that pretty much the same information is on both. So if you are more of a person where you like all of your apps to be separate,
and you don't want to have to go digging deeper into an app to get the content you want, then I would suggest going with the Newbies app. So it's got some really great features on it. Mainly, obviously, you can download and listen to the episodes whenever you want. You can star your favorite episodes. You can access all the bonus content and all of that great stuff with just a few simple clicks. However, if you are someone who loves the New Mommy Media podcast and you listen to several of them, hopefully you guys know that we produce more than just Newbies. In fact, we have five podcasts right now that we're producing. And so if you're a fan of our other shows and you want, perhaps, I don't know, maybe you download a bunch of apps on your phone, your iPad, or your Android device, and maybe you're running out of room and you just want one app that has everything on it, that's a great opportunity to download the New Mommy Media app. So all five shows, you can access all of the podcasts through that app. You don't have to load all of them. So let's just say you listen to 2 out of 3 or 4 out of 5 or something like that. You can just download the ones you want and have easy access to them just through one single app. And the nice thing is we have apps available on every single platform you can think of. So hopefully that breaks it down a little bit more. If you guys have further questions, please email us. You can go to the contact link on newmommymedia.com and just let me know your questions and I'll try to get them answered.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Today on Newbies, we're beginning our series on postpartum mood disorders with an episode on the baby blues. On our show, we have Gretchen Malios, licensed clinical social worker specializing in maternal mental health. Thanks so much for joining us, Gretchen. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Gretchen, as a licensed clinical social worker, how many moms experience the baby blues?
So the baby blues are commonly understood to happen in about 8 in 10 moms. So 80% of moms will experience the baby blues in the first couple of weeks after giving birth.
How many moms nationwide experience postpartum mood disorders?
So postpartum mood disorders are different than baby blues because that's actually a stronger symptom. It happens for fewer moms. But we estimate that there's about 400,000 live births in the United States every year. And if we went conservative, that 15% of moms get some kind of mood disorder after giving birth, that's about 60,000 moms a year in new cases.
Wow.
And that if we go up to 20%, which is commonly referred to as sort of the baseline of the number of cases in a given year, or new cases, it's 80,000 new instances of maternal depression. Dads, we're starting to recognize that dads get it too, and that's 10% of new cases. So 10% of dads experience depression after childbirth, and 50% of dads when there's already a case of depression in the home. So if mom develops depression, dad is 50% more likely to develop it as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. That's new information for me.
Yeah.
What are the different kinds of mood disorders that mom can experience? We'll just touch on a few.
Right. So, well, mood disorders are depression specific, but the different kinds of mental health disorders that mom can experience are anxiety, depression, and trauma, post-traumatic stress disorder, and OCD or psychosis. So mood disorders are the most commonly studied and the most commonly occurring. But these days, most of us that are working with moms and dads, we're finding that anxiety is about as common as depression, even though depression has been much more studied.
What is a new mom experiencing emotionally those first few days after she has had her baby?
Most of us experience that kind of euphoric elation that's so overwhelming, that sense of love when that baby first arrives. It's like nothing we've ever experienced before. We didn't know we could have that bandwidth of feeling and love. So that's commonly the first reaction, or the reaction within the first day of getting used to that new being in your life and that new relationship. But after that, then there's this expectation, oh, does that stay? Well, it doesn't. There's hardship, there's adversity, there's questions, there's doubts, there's the baby's health that, you know, this medical environment or this family environment is sometimes monitoring. So after the elation and the euphoria that comes naturally with the body and the whole surge of the experience, there can be worry, There can be stress. There can be fear. There can be sadness and confusion. So there's a range of feelings that parents feel. And I don't just mean after the first child's born, because when the second or the third comes along, now you have that baby and then those other relationships to negotiate. So life's complex and relationships are complex. And that welcomes a whole gamut of emotional responses.
What about our panelists? How did you feel that very first day that you had your baby?
Tired. It was a long night.
Yeah.
Just happy and just, I mean, really, honestly, though, I was tired. That was the biggest thing for me, but I was happy that my husband was able to be there. He's in the military and I had a great doula, so I don't know that I'm a healthy baby, so I really don't know that I felt like I could have asked for a whole lot more.
How about you, Jennifer? How did you feel?
You know, so far I'm 3 for 3. Day one is elation. I'm very grateful for that. I'm so excited by it. You know what I mean? It's just, like, there's this new person in the world, and even if they're not my person, like, there's this new baby in the world, and I just, it's the best days when babies come. Day two might be a different story, but day one is awesome.
That's right. You're a surrogate.
So I'm going to break the trend, because with my first daughter, the first day was elation, and that continued, I would say, through day three. And for the first 2 weeks with her, I had some baby blues that I was dealing with, and it was very hard to just do anything. And I slept a lot and nursed a lot and just kind of stayed in the bed. And I had a lot of doubt about my emotions, or, like, you know, I would get very angry very quickly. And is this warranted, or am I just hormonal and this is just me being hormonal? So a lot of doubt. And then it cleared up, you know, it was just gone. And with Emerson this time around, it has not cleared up. And I'm 2 months post. Yeah, he's 11 weeks on Thursday. So right before he was born, my grandmother passed away. And when I had him, he was a C-section, and I was excited that he was there, but it was nothing like the flood of emotion that I had with Bree. It was much more subdued, I would say, in a large part because I was grieving. I'm still grieving, you know, and it's challenging. And I feel like I go out of my way to make a connection with him, and so that he isn't sensing anything different with my mood or with the love that he receives. So I'm kind of like fake it till I make it right now, fake it till I feel it, you know, deeply.
Yeah, I had a similar experience as you. None of my births were like beautiful and, oh, I just felt it right away. In fact, I felt very detached at birth with all of them. And not that I didn't love them. I just didn't feel that euphoria. And probably that had a lot to do with trauma, like you mentioned. So, fake it till you make it. So I get that now. Yeah. I look at my 5, 3, and 2-year-old and I'm like, oh, gosh, you're so cute. I just love you so much. But I did not feel that when I first saw them.
Well, that's good for me to hear that it comes.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I doubt. I'm like, oh, gosh, am I ever going to connect with Emerson the way that I connected with Gabriella and have that strong bond with her?
Yeah.
It's very, very different. I mean, even the red flag for me was when I would hear Bree cry, I would cry and my milk would let down. And when Emerson would cry and he's upset, my milk does not do anything. And I'm just like, ugh, he's crying again. You know, it's very different. And that was the red flag for me to go to talk to my doctor and see, because something was chemically different, because it's the oxytocin that triggers your milk to let down.
Yeah.
And even now when I'm home with Gabriella, when I think about her or I'm out doing my day and I'm just hanging out, you know, and I think of her, my milk lets down. So I kind of leverage my relationship and that elation that I had with her, you know, to trigger my milk and to trigger that hormone, and while I'm looking at Emerson. So I'm very, very conscious and very proactive about creating that, you know, that bond there, so that he has no idea what his mom went through, you know, when he's older.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
See, that's interesting, because I can almost exactly relate to that experience, but the opposite. So every one of my kids, when they were born, I was so excited, so ecstatic, but I was not in love with them. I didn't have that like instant, oh my gosh, I'm so, you know, in love with my child. And I remember feeling really guilty about that when my daughter was born. Like, well, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
And other people, you know, I finally mentioned it to one or two friends who said, oh, no, it's okay. it comes, give it a chance. And I think when my son was born, I knew what was coming. Like, I knew I would fall in love with him. So I kind of tapped into that and just hung on to that feeling. And it did happen faster with him. But it is interesting because with my daughter, I was actually just in the process of going through a divorce when she was born. So there was a lot happening there. So I was prepared to be unhappy or have to work really hard through it and that kind of thing. And thankfully, I had my mother, who was a really huge support system. Whereas with my son, I was happily married. I had this great guy that I'd known forever. We'd been married for 3 years at that point. Again, I had my mother. And so I just went into it going, I know it'll come, and just try to be a little bit patient with myself. And it did come. So it does come. So give yourself time. But at some point I would look at it and said, wait, everything's great. Why am I still so unhappy? And that's when I reached out and said, okay, something's wrong.
So I love what you all are sharing, because this absolutely captures what we see from the emotional health side when we're working with families. And I'm so excited for your listeners to hear that there's such a range of responses. And the biggest thing is listening to yourself and having safe, loving people that you can safely talk to share what you're experiencing, to sound it out until you determine what you need to be well. You know, can a friend say, it's okay that you're not in love right away? The relationship takes time to develop. We're social beings, mm-hmm. but some of us cue off right away and some of us take time. And that's really healthy. That's really typical. And that's not a sign of your value as a mother or your love for your child. You're just going through a process. And then I also love the description of all the different life events that people are describing that they went through. We have loss. We have marital loss. We have transition. We have a doubt about whether or not our spouse will be able to be there at the birth. These are such significant things. They distract us away from the process of mothering and birthing. And so to have a response is really normal. And that's where support systems, like really loving and non-judgmental support systems. And if you don't happen to have that around you, well, then leverage professionals, get creative, get to support groups where you are going to encounter caring, non-judgmental people so you can walk this path and get back to yourself. But, you know, I really appreciate what people are sharing, and what they're sharing is that sometimes it goes outside of the typical baby blues experience. Sometimes it's something a little more significant. Mm-hmm.
So then what should we look for specifically as the symptoms of baby blues?
Yes. I love you're asking that. Okay, so when I was asked what baby blues are, like it's a phrase we use, and you know, what exactly does it mean? And because I'm trained more in the mind-body training field, and I think about emotions as energy. What I think about baby blues and how it aligns with what it's typically described, it is the process your body goes through as it courses through all of this physical and psychological adjustment. So you are growing a being and preparing a being to survive in the world. Then you're bringing that being into the world through the birth process. And then you're adjusting to that relationship and then the responsibility of keeping that being healthy, alive, and safe, right? So that is a whole slew of experiences. And if you imagine, you know, if you imagine a small pool of water, whether it's an ocean, a lake, or a bucket, every one of those transactions creates a current of energy, right? And so baby blues, the way I think of it, is sort of, it's your emotional body moving around and sort of course correcting from all of this sudden activity. And then eventually within 2 weeks, it should stabilize and be fairly steady. You should be fairly steady and easy in your emotional flow. Baby blues feels like kind of a sudden upset, tearfulness, some confusion, a little bit of emotionally disoriented, like, what am I feeling? What am I doing? Maybe some confusion about, what was I just working on? Right? So it's sort of a mental and emotional confusion, but it should be relatively functional. It should be fleeting, and you should not feel deep despair or distress about yourself, your family, or your newborn. Okay, so when it gets into a deeper sense of despair or distress, we're really talking about something stronger. We're really talking about having that wisdom. I think I need to talk to someone because I think my body isn't course correcting well enough, fast enough. Something's awry.
And what are some ways that a partner or a family could support a mom during the baby blues?
So what I like to think of is, one, we should listen. Right. So when a mom says, I don't know, I don't feel, I feel like I'm going crazy, or I can't stop crying, I don't want to hear, oh, you're fine, go sleep. Have you taken a bath today? Are you drinking coffee right now? I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, really? Oh, how's it going? How long has that been going on for? How strong is that? I want the mom to be listened to. I want her to hear and sense that she can keep talking, that you don't need to interrupt. And then after some time, if she starts to sort of make sense of it and find solutions, say, but you know, I realize I think this is how I felt with my first, or you know, my friends all told me I'd feel this way, and she starts to level, I think I'm okay, I feel better, thanks for listening, then that's that normal course correction. Or if she continues and she's getting a little distraught and she's not able to figure a way through, then what I want a family member or a support member or a partner to say is, do you think you're okay? Are you concerned about this? Are you concerned about how you're feeling? Do you want me to do something? Do you think we should go talk to someone? That would be okay, mm-hmm. right? So I want someone to listen first and then ask for partnership and helping them get support. But if she's really distressed, one of the things is for more significant depression or anxiety, the ironic thing about it is the person who's suffering can't see it. So if a person really doesn't look like themselves, if a mom really doesn't look and sound like herself, I want the partner to say, trust me, we're going to go talk to someone. And she may resist, I don't want to. Mm-hmm. It's okay, I want us to. I need us to. I need us to so I can know how to navigate this, because this is a little confusing for me, right? So if it gets more severe, I want someone looking out for her and thinking for her, okay?
And our panelists, did you feel like your baby blues experience those first couple weeks reflected some of what Gretchen said, or did you feel like you had something different going on?
I think both happened with me. I definitely think there was some baby blues, but then I didn't recognize it, and so it had a chance to progress, and it just kept getting worse and worse. And then my husband did deploy, and so I was alone. I don't have family nearby, and Kristen was actually the one that caught it. And she said, well, you know, what's going on? And I'm like, oh, I'm tired. I can't, you know, just can't get past this. And she said, okay, maybe there's something more that we should look at. So
yeah. And I think something that's really important to recognize is that we moms are warriors. We take care of our babies no matter what. So someone thinking about, well, I can't be depressed. I'm getting up. I'm taking care of my baby every day. I'm fine. But you, if you look at it, you know, well, I'm tired. I'm not feeling well. I'm not having that energy, but I'm getting through it. That's usually a pretty good sign.
I had the same experience that you described. So, and it was really pivotal to have the support person. My husband was the first one to say, yeah, you don't seem like yourself, or what's going on? How are you feeling? And with Gabriella, I was able to talk through it. With Emerson this time around, I was like, no, I'm fine. I'm okay. Nothing's wrong. It was, my husband had been at me 2 weeks before I actually went to the doctor, to go to the doctor and reach out for a therapist and for some additional assistance. And when I went, it had gotten past what it probably should have if I had listened to him. But I was convinced that I was okay, and it was just gonna, you know, resolve itself. And I was grieving for my grandmother, grieving for her. So I expected to feel kind of down and low, but not to the extent that I was. So
yeah. I actually liked your description. I remember with my Suro baby that I had, for me it was an easy recovery and very little baby blues and nothing past that. But his parents actually described very similar to what you were saying. And I remember one day looking at me and saying, you know, we kind of had this moment of what did we get ourselves into? And it was those first 10 to 12 days of adjustment of, okay, wait, how does this work? And how do I take care of this human being? And how has my life just changed? And what have I gotten myself into? And it only took about 10 or 12 days for them to to find a routine and to find a rhythm and to start being like, oh, that's right. Okay, this is great. And I wanted to do this, and this is an amazing human being, and I'm happy, and kind of go past it. So it was interesting to watch someone very close to me go through the baby blues and self-adjust really well, so that by 2 weeks, a little over 2 weeks, they were ready to go and life was grand.
So that's the adjustment period, right? So any mm-hmm. change is adjustment. And then the question is, how tapped are we? Are we not so tapped that we can course correct? Or are we so strained and tapped by other life experiences that the adjustment is hard to recalibrate to, right? And that's really, that's the adjustment.
When we come back, we will continue our discussion about the baby blues. We'll be right back.
This podcast is sponsored by Skylight Calendar. Let's be real. Running a household can be exhausting and chaotic. And finding the perfect Mother's Day gift, it's not exactly a no-brainer. Until now. The Skylight Calendar is the best way to organize the family and give everyone, especially mom, some peace of mind to enjoy the things that matter most. The Skylight Calendar is a smart, touchscreen calendar that keeps track of and manages the chores, dinner planning, groceries, and to-dos for the whole family. The Skylight Calendar automatically syncs each family member's digital calendars and displays them all together on one color-coded touchscreen. It even doubles as a digital picture frame, so you can finally share all those special moments that are just sitting on your phone. As a limited-time offer for our listeners, get 15% off your purchase of a Skylight calendar when you go to skylightcal.com/easy. That's SKYLIGHTCAL.com/easy. Get 15% off your Mother's Day purchase now at skylightcal.com/easy.
Welcome back to the show. We are talking with Gretchen Malios about the baby blues. Gretchen, does having the baby blues automatically mean a mom is going to develop a long-term postpartum mood disorder?
No, not at all. The baby blues, like I said, it's this sort of fleeting recalibration of the body's energy, emotional, and psychological system. And so it should remit within a couple of weeks. If you're at a month or 2 months and you say to a family member or your doctor, I'm feeling upset, I'm feeling emotional, I don't feel like myself, or I'm feeling tired, and they say, oh, that's normal, that's the baby blues, we're really actually outside that baby blues window. Now we're talking about maybe having a little more of a challenge adjusting. So no, it is not, it's not equivalent to developing a mood disorder. It should be a short, fleeting experience.
At what point in a mom's postpartum recovery would you be suspicious of another postpartum mood disorder?
I'm watching from day one, actually. We have stories of women developing it and not feeling like themselves before they've even given birth. And then we have stories of women really doing great for the first year, 2 years, and then suddenly they kind of slowly slip into stress. And so I'm really watching throughout to see that she's course correcting with the changes and the adjustments, and that she's seeming like herself and she's finding solutions when things feel hard. And then if she can't find solutions and she's not feeling like herself, or she's feeling disoriented and confused and it doesn't course correct, then I'm concerned that her body's moving into a different state.
That's really interesting that you say that, because I had postpartum depression within 24 hours of having my kids. I mean, I was lashing out at my husband in the hospital. And at my third, I had a really traumatic birth. And I actually told a nurse that was not very nice to me that if she came back in my room, I was going to punch her. But yeah. No, for seriously. Yeah. But no one said to me, that's not normal.
That's not you. That's not who you are.
Yeah.
They were probably thinking that because your birth was so traumatic, you were at a heightened state, a heightened emotional
right.
state.
Mm-hmm. But I feel like even at that point in the hospital, medical professionals yeah. should be screening
yeah.
for that, and not just assuming that was, oh, she's just having the baby blues.
And the key word there is medical. Yeah. They're medical professionals. Yeah. They're not mental health professionals.
Yeah.
And I do a lot of training and talk for providers that are trained at different levels and in different backgrounds. And one of the things that I often share with them is, when you have a mom who's behaving in a way that you want to label, like she's a... What a, if you're labeling that behavior and that behavior isn't consistent with her core personality, that is a symptom. That's not her character. That's not something to judge. That's a symptom.
Because I was really nice my whole labor, so. Even 21 hours after, I was still saying please and thank you. So yeah, I really, you're right. They're not mental health professionals. They're medical professionals. Yeah. And what are some of the warning signs the mother's partner or family should be on the lookout for?
What she's talking about, the way she's thinking about herself or her baby. If I'm hearing sounds of despair, like she's not so sure of herself, a little bit of self-doubt, like, I don't know what I'm doing, is normal. Persistent, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm not sure how to handle this. If it's persistent, now I'm thinking about that's how she's viewing the world, that's her perception. Perception, negative perception for some time, is really a sign that there's a depression cloud covering her mind, and that's influencing how she sees herself, her baby, and her mothering or her family. That's my concern.
So it's difficult to be objective.
Yeah.
So when should a mom seek an evaluation?
So again, when if it's mild, she's gonna start noticing, I don't feel like myself. So I think if she's wondering, I don't feel like myself, and I'm not feeling as positive about things as I expected myself to be, I would want to start talking to a friend or a professional. And Postpartum Support International and Postpartum Health Alliance both have warm lines that you can call and talk to a volunteer who's trained and experienced to say, hey, I was referred to you. I just wanted to tell you how I'm feeling and check, does this seem like anything's going on? And they can conduct a screening and help them know if they're within a healthy range or if they're starting to slip into a concerning range. And then beyond that, when it's sort of like Shannon said, when Emerson was born, I didn't feel great, but I told my husband, no, I'm fine. There's this irony, a vicious irony. And like, I think of depression as almost like an autoimmune disorder. It works against you. So depression clouded Shannon from saying, yeah, you're right, I should listen to you, I should go see someone now. It made her say, no, I'm fine. Because that's the depression saying, leave me alone. I don't feel good. I want to be left alone. So when at some point, it's no longer up to her to seek help. It's about her support system seeking help for her. Sort of like you were able to do to say, hey, you know, I'm worried. I'm concerned. Something might be happening here.
Thank you so much, Gretchen, and our lovely panelists for chatting with us today about the baby blues for our series on postpartum mood disorders. And for our Newbies Club members, our conversation will continue after the end of the show, as Gretchen will provide more information about the Postpartum Health Alliance and the services they offer. For more information about the Newbies Club, please visit our website at newmommymedia.com.
All right, hey guys, it's time for a fun segment on Newbies we'd like to call Baby Oops, and it's where you guys share your funny stories of what you've done with your babies and the funny things that have happened with your babies during this first year. So this one comes from Stacy from Texas, and Stacy says, when we left the hospital, we were both so nervous. It's not like they give you a handbook or anything. We certainly didn't feel qualified to be responsible for this precious little life. My husband pulled the car up to the hospital. The nurse inspected our car seat. I was carefully put into the front seat. Seatbelts, check. We are ready to go be the best parents ever. My husband starts the car and reverses it right into the car behind us. Thankfully, no damage. We start off again. This time we make it onto the highway, and I start getting so annoyed at how fast people drive. I mean, we are bringing our perfect new baby into such an awful, dangerous world, right? My husband agrees, and we can't believe the speeders. And that's when I notice he's only doing 35 miles per hour. Yeah, it's everyone else that's crazy out there, right? So thanks so much for sending this in. We love to hear your stories of things that have happened between you and your baby during this first year. And so if you're thinking of a story, you're like, oh, everyone would really appreciate this story. We would love to hear it. So there's a couple ways you can submit. You can go to our website, click on the contact link, and just type out an email to us and tell us your story. Or my favorite way is for you guys to call our voicemail and tell the story yourself. And you can call 619-866-4775. Leave a message and we'll include your story in an upcoming episode.
That wraps up our show for today. We appreciate you listening to Newbies. Don't forget to check out our sister show Preggy Pals for expecting parents, Parent Savers for moms and dads with infants and toddlers, the Boob Group for moms who breastfeed, and Twin Talks for parents of multiples. Thanks for listening to Newbies, your go-to source for new moms and new babies.
This has been a New Mommy Media production. The information and material contained in this episode are presented for educational purposes only. Statements and opinions expressed in this episode are not necessarily those of New Mommy Media and should not be considered facts. While such information and materials are believed to be accurate, it is not intended to replace or substitute for professional medical advice or care, and should not be used for diagnosing or treating health care problem or disease or prescribing any medication. If you have questions or concerns regarding your physical or mental health or the health of your baby, please seek assistance from a qualified health care provider.
New Mommy Media is expanding our lineup of shows for new and expecting parents. If you have an idea for a new series, or if you're a business or organization interested in joining our network of shows through a co-branded podcast, visit newmommymedia.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey mamas, don't forget to check out Mighty Moms. It's our online community built for new moms just like you. Not only can you connect with other moms, but you can also join us backstage for special mom-only online events. And you'll also be notified when we're recording so you can join us as a special guest. Visit our website, newmommymedia.com, and click on the Mighty Moms banner. It's free. That's newmommymedia.com. See you there.